The Around the NFL Podcast kills it at Trivia Night.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room. Oh, my God, there's so many heroes in here. Colleen Wolf, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys and women?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, hey, hey.
Connie, one of the great utility players, a real Martine Prado.
Yeah. I mean, what do you need? I can help.
On, what was it, on Wednesday's show or Monday's show, you were in Wes's chair, immediately to my left. Friday's show, you're in Sessler's chair, far right.
Mm-hmm. And Thursday's NFL Network hit,
and you were in Dan's chair.
The old scissors chair.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Regular Brock Holt around here.
You're kind of like Rex Burkhead, a four-down player, versatility, special teams ace, running
back. Keep going, everybody. Keep going.
I mean, let's not bury the lead, though, here. One hero is flying a little higher than the rest of us today. That man is Dan Hansis.
Read Dan Hansis' fine pages, the end around his specialty, mirth. The subject, pro football.
Yeah, there he goes. Dave Damschek was nice enough. Dave filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen show on the old Audience Network. And I went to the studio this morning, and I did a nice, 25 minutes with Dave and the Chris's, Brockman and Law. And am I flying too close to the sun now that I'm a big television star? Maybe.
Yeah.
Am I on borrowed wings? Maybe.
We'll find out. You have a suit coat on right
suit
now.
Jacket.
First communion shoes.
Smile ear to ear.
First communion shoes, as Wes tweeted.
And I loved it. Like, you came prepared with that jacket. I mean, you've made fun of us sometimes for wearing coats. You know, trying to dress up too much up here. Like, oh, that's not really who we are. We're not podcasts. But put this guy on TV and suddenly, he's Don Johnson.
You could be
80s.
Calling a game right now.
What, am I supposed to be, like, dressing like Booger from Revenge of the Nerds or something?
I don't know.
That reference, Wes, 1984
oh, yeah.
film.
Brockman and Law are pretty casual. You know, you could do whatever you want.
So you're saying
want.
I overdress?
No, I don't. I'm not really saying.
I feel like
I'm
you actually
I like
up
that you're looking good.
For the guest that's walking in the studio right now.
Well, plus
– oh. My goodness.
There's an embrace, everybody.
He just walked in. Or a chokehold. Just walked. And now sitting down.
The freeze has thawed.
Oh, my goodness. Breaking news. Sitting now immediately to my left. Daniel Jeremiah, move the sticks.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. So many bits right now. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not even done giving Dan grief about the Rich Eisen show. And then here's Daniel Jeremiah.
Well, here's the deal. I saw on social media that one of your distinguished colleagues was going to be on the Rich Eisen show. So Greg reached out to me about joining the podcast today, and in normal terms, obviously not. I wouldn't do it. But
right.
Then I saw Dan was doing the Rich Eisen show. I thought, you know what? I actually like everybody else in the group. When I really did some internal investigating there, I was like, I'm cool with everybody except
Thanks,
for one
DJ.
Person. And then I come in here and he's sitting in here.
I kind of like the idea that I may have ruined your Friday.
I think you can pretty much eliminate May. Yeah.
Wes, by the way, always befuddled by the heat between the Move the Sticks podcast and the Around the NFL podcast. And once again, shaking his head, doesn't quite process
I
it.
I haven't been this confused since the manufactured Bob Costas debate that's been going on for four years between the two of you and Mark Sessler.
Oh, gosh. Well, here's the truth, though. So I told Dan this the other day. On Twitter, this older gentleman – okay, he had tweeted something, because we were going back and forth, me and Dan were doing something, and this older gentleman had said, like, I don't understand what the problem, like, he legitimately, he likes both of us individually.
He's trying to broker a peace?
This guy was really troubled, and I told Zeuser, I'm like, dude, I had to come out of character. I'm like, hey, we're okay, man. I don't need this guy, like, not sleeping at night, because he thinks there's real conflict.
It's affecting
here.
Other people's lives.
Yeah,
people
so are very
I was like,
concerned.
I had to spare that.
I was
man.
Troubled by
spare
it.
That gentleman.
Like the old callback, he broke kayfabe.
Oh
the
yeah,
wrestling thing, and he said to this, we're actually friends, and I was like, wait a second,
yeah, yeah.
Calm
maybe
down
a little
here,
strong. Maybe a little strong on the friends.
Calm down
yeah.
with the friend thing. Number one, number two,
these guys aren't hanging out after work. Let's be honest.
I kind of like it better when everyone thinks, but that was the preacher's son in you coming out.
You got to catch
well, yeah,
DJ
I mean, this guy
at Anano
was literally...
Cafe. If you want to hang out with him, catch him at Anano.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Good hamburger spot.
Oh, it's the best.
Do you eat there?
I love Anano.
That place is great.
It's my favorite burger.
Now
in
sponsored
life.
By really Anano. Good.
Yeah.
Anano.
I'm a little bit upset, though, because the guy that's behind the bar, I assume he owns it. He's there all the time. I don't know if he owns it or not, but he's there every time I've gone in there.
Yeah.
Still, like, there's no connection.
Really?
Yeah, you want the guy to kind of remember you a little bit.
No. It's not a neighborhood bar if there's no connection.
And we get a lot of tweets from people that are fans of the show that say, oh, I'm going to be in California. Where should we go? Hanano's is right on the water there on the border of Venice and Marina Del Rey.
How many guys do you think they'll go into that place and order a hamburger and an iced tea? And every time he goes, you know, all we have is Snapple. I'm like, no, I've been here like 50 times. I'll take my Snapple can and my really cold mug, and I'll be good.
And you get chip roulette, too.
Oh, that's the fun part.
Like, maybe you get Fritos, maybe you get
chip roulette.
Yeah.
It's so basic, but it gives you so much joy.
It's awesome.
So, I mean, we have DJ. This is DJ season. I mean, this is when he's like, give me the spotlight. I'm the king of draft talk.
Yeah.
So I guess usually we do some news at the top of the show, but since we have DJ, for how many minutes do we have you, DJ?
I have to be in a makeup chair. I got like 20 minutes.
All right. So why don't we talk a little draft at the top here?
By the way, are you driving Uber as well? And what are you doing with this jacket here?
Yes.
Listen, I have no retort to that. I am not a man. I don't have a walk-in closet. I'm a humble blue-collar guy. I come from a coal town.
Face is super red.
I got one jacket.
I got to say, though, you are on TV more than Judge Judy these days, man. I can't flip on NFL Network without seeing
you. Coming from you, that's interesting. That's interesting, DJ. Because Daniel Jeremiah, you do the path to the draft. I think you do it. Sometimes Colleen's even in the mix.
Yeah, I was on there a couple days.
We have a big-time special. I don't know if is that out yet. Or a little.
Oh, let's should we break it?
Break it. Go break it again.
Yeah.
We'll break.
We're doing a little mock draft live.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. DJ and I are both GMs of our own teams.
Last year we co-hosted it. Mm-hmm. We apparently didn't do a good job because now we're just
switching around our roles.
Roles have been switched.
You're no longer the host, but you're on the show.
Yes.
This is a program on NFL Network.
It is.
Yes, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Again, Greg, sometimes you over-explain things. Of course it's a program on NFL Network.
I don't know.
We're doing this one on Fox.
We got NFL Now and whatnot.
Right.
Fox has contracted us for this month's show.
All right, so since you are sometimes a co-host of Path to the Draft, why don't you throw DJ a question here, Colleen?
Okay.
You're so versatile.
All right.
Boy, this is like the fifth – like me and Bucky, it's just two of us, right?
Yeah.
So we get like the best headsets.
Yeah.
This is like headset number five right here. This thing is horrendous.
That's the one that I refuse to put behind my back.
It's so bad.
Yeah. It's an outrage.
I'm trying to find something.
Don't get Wes going on this.
I'm good. Okay. That's better.
Get him going.
All right, Colleen, what we got?
All right, so let's talk biggest draft riser. I know that you're a big fan of Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Because he can fill so many different roles. But just all in all, when you look at these different guys after the pro days, who's the biggest riser right now?
Yeah, I think, look, when you just go through the whole postseason, McCaffrey was still, I thought, always was going to be a first-round pick. Now I think he's going to be a top 20 pick.
Really?
But Hassan Reddick from Temple is probably
my boy.
You know, your Temple guy. So he's probably he's done the most for himself in the postseason because really you're talking about switching positions. He goes to the Senior Bowl. He was an edge rusher. Now he's playing inside linebacker and had a great week. Goes to the combine, runs 4.47, I think is what he ran there, and had a great workout.
But usually going from edge rusher to inside linebacker doesn't help
you. It's a Teddy Bruschi.
Well, it also doesn't help your draft prospects because edge rushers are more valuable.
The thing that's cool about this dude, though, is that you can kind of use him in both roles. So I think you'll see teams that on early downs you can play him inside, and then when you get in sub situations and you get in passing downs, you can let him just come off the edge. He's a really good player.
How many players in the NFL are like that? Like Clay Matthews obviously plays both.
He can do both. We're
like
starting to
Dante
see
Dante Hightower.
Jamie Collins has done both. I mean, I think
more athletic than Dante Hightower.
Yeah. Dante Hightower is 265 pounds. I mean, this guy's 238.
Reddick's so versatile too because he was a walk-on at Temple as a DB
too. Yeah, he was a corner.
Like super undersized.
Wow.
He's got a great story, and you know, so this is it's interesting. We've talked about. You know, when I was started in 03 scouting, you'd go in the draft room and you'd have all the positions across the board. And now it's almost just kind of like it's all melded together, you know, where we're just going to get the best players. You see a lot of teams play with three safeties. You'll see sets where you'll see, five corners out there. I mean, there's just you'll see everything. So just want guys that can do multiple things. Their value has really skyrocketed. He's one of those guys.
You said McCaffrey moving up. Where do you think he could go then in the first round?
I think you can look at a place like Philadelphia, which would make some sense. You could look at a place like Indianapolis where it could make some sense.
I would love to see him in Indianapolis.
Oh, man. Andrew Luck with him.
That would be fun. Yeah. That would be fun to watch.
And there on
Tampa, turf? Tampa at 19 as well.
Mm. In that dome on turf?
I mean, that's the problem.
With his cutting ability?
All these teams like it's Tampa, for instance, that you think about, okay, maybe they would sign Adrian Peterson. At this point, they're going to wait, you would think, to the draft, or he should sign before the draft, because if the right guy like McCaffrey falls to them, they end up taking him, and that closes the spot.
He wouldn't be a great fit in Tampa, though, right? Because Charles Sims can do some of those things, and they really need – if they're worried about Doug Martin, you want a between the tackles
guy.
Yeah,
bigger
guy.
And in this draft, there's so many guys. I mean, you can get in the fourth round, and there'll be plenty of options.
The Colts are one of those teams, though, that have telegraphed what – you know, and I respect that. You know, Chris Ballard and Chuck Pagano have basically said what they're going into the draft looking for. Here are the four positions we're looking for, and they've made it no secret. They're taking a running back, whether it's early or not.
At some point in time.
You know, they're taking it.
And you have the Saints as an option on the mock draft at NFL.com.
Oh, man, Saints fans lost their mind on that one. That was a fun one.
Why? No.
Because you got to do 100 of these mock drafts, right? So you're sitting there, and at this point in time, with this last one, I just like a couple weeks old. So – you're not that much information now. The teams haven't come back in from their meetings from the pro days, so you're just throwing crap against the wall. And so I'm sitting here going like, okay, as a fan, Drew Brees with Christian McCaffrey, like how much fun?
Sean
would that
Payton
be?
Yeah. Loves scatbacks.
Look what Reggie Bush did the Super Bowl year. So
Aaron Sproles.
Let's throw him in there and then the Saints fans lost their minds. We have to go defense. How could you say we would go offense?
People take their mock drafts really
serious. Super serious.
Oh my gosh, it's life or death.
They're like a completely made up exercise, which has the word made up.
Down. This is DJ's career.
I mean, it has the word mock in the name. I mean, I'm just
very
saying.
Very real. This
not get carried away here.
Shouldn't you be circling around the block one more time right now?
I've got a question for you, DJ.
Greg, it took you a couple extra seconds to get that one, but that's good.
This is unrelated to this year's draft class, but it's an important question, and especially germane to Dan. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Dan is convinced that if the Jets go 1-15 and get the number one overall pick, it's going to be worth it because this guy's the real deal.
It's pretty good.
I've also read Jeremy Bergman, one of our guys on the desk, says he's got a long delivery. Is this true? And so, how concerned we should be? I mean, USC has a history of guys talked about after their sophomore or junior year going number one overall and then sliding.
He's different, though. I think that if you look at who was talking about him, like Matt Barkley when he was coming out.
Matt Leinart.
Matt Leinart may be a little bit different, but with Barkley – there was nobody in the personnel community that was elevating him up there. It was just he's an All-American, they're a top-five team, you know, so the media had kind of made that push. This kid, Sam Darnold, he's more physical. He's got a huge arm. The delivery is long, but, I mean, we've talked about this before. It's almost like with Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson has a long delivery, but it's explosive. You don't want to be Leftwich, who's loopy and slow. Like, that's the worst combination. He needs to tighten it up a little bit, but when you can be long and quick is which what he is, you can get away with it. Something he'll work on. But, man, I've talked to, coaches, general managers, scouts, anybody that's seen this kid while they're doing other players. Like, my phone was blowing up during that time during the combine. They're like, oh, that's the dude right there.
Is there a strong belief you're closer to this than us that he is got, like, one more year in him?
That he might come back.
That he'll actually come out because there's
no guarantee. No, he doesn't have to. I mean, look, the thing about him, just from what I know, he's a lifelong USC fan. From Orange County. It's not like he's in a situation where, from a financial perspective, obviously that's not a concern. Mm-hmm. And then he grew up as a fan of the team. So, and I can guarantee you the pitch from the USC coaching staff is going to be, Andrew Luck was in your exact same situation. Could have came out his redshirt sophomore year and
Dan wants to hear.
Went back for one more.
I got banged on this once in 97 when Peyton Manning, when the Jets are coming off 1-15, decided to do one more year at Tennessee.
So who got hosed?
Can't happen again.
Who got hosed? I think it was Buffalo, right? When Luck went back,
Carolina wasn't.
Cam. You would either got Cam or Luck, right? Yeah. They would have gone 1-2.
Yeah.
And I think Buffalo, I believe, was picking second that year.
Then took Darius. You're right.
Little difference between Darius and Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh wow, Dan. You know who else is a huge Sam Darnold fan?
Talk to me.
The Spice Rack.
Spicy loves
Spice Rack him. Loves Ooh. Sam Darnold.
Peppermill?
One of my good friends lives in Vegas and is my college football consigliere.
Okay.
I get all of my college football opinions from him because I don't watch it.
Adopt him. That's fine.
He is convinced that Darnold is the real deal.
Yeah, also an occasional uneven guest of this podcast, much like yourself.
I would not even go uneven.
Speaking of podcasts, you should start
Do you keep
one,
little
DJ.
Cups of water in the back of the car? Do you have little things of water, maybe like some mints? Newspaper? I mean, what do you have in the back seat?
No, I'm serious, though.
Yeah. I hope you have phone chargers in there.
I'm sorry.
I always need
Like, you have like an easy like candor about you and wit. You should start a podcast on NFL.
Oh, wow. That's good. Very well done. Hey, by the way, so I went through for farts and giggles.
It's getting uncomfortable, folks.
For farts and giggles, I went and looked up like – the iTunes thing is always fascinating to me, right? You see the rankings, they put the number of stars and they can leave the reviews, right? I've been called all types of things on those. But anyways, on your guys, which you have like 1,500 reviews, okay?
Love
which
our listeners.
Which is crazy.
Which, that's by the way, number. Everyone should leave a review. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up,
please,
DJ.
Continue to help these guys out. Anyways, I'm reading it. There is so much shade being thrown at me and Bucky in your reviews.
Really?
It's like 20% of loving you guys, and the other 80% is attacking us. It's like, so I mean,
Bucky's a nice guy.
We can say anything bad about Bucky.
I like Bucky.
Maybe it was just me, but I tried to put Bucky in there so I feel better. But
that's amazing.
But I've instructed our listeners, both of them, to go on our reviews and feel free to take shots at the Around the NFL.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't. It was a call to arms. I don't know if it'll work.
That's fine.
So this is
not on your reviews, on our reviews.
This is you really finding out that, okay, it's all fun and games. We can make these little jokes, you know, starting a beef. And, you know, sometimes real life smacks back at you. It's not all fun and games.
No. Look, you have a powerful army out there. Powerful army.
Hey, you got.
I'm beginning to figure it out, though. I think you guys are giving free rides to everybody in town. that's how you do it.
I like the bit. I didn't know that Uber drivers wore jackets, but that's still the bit works.
Oh, yeah. In Marina Del Rey, they do.
You got Mitch Trubisky, by the way, at number 32, which to me is like code for DJ thinks he's no good.
I agree.
Okay. Well,
that's
a little
the mock,
different.
Not the top 50.
Yeah. See,
he's not your top quarterback, though, right?
No, I have
Watson.
I have Watson, then Trubisky, then Kaiser. Mm. But I'm not. Like I said, I'm in like with these quarterbacks. I'm not in love with any of them this year. So,
there are people that do love Trubisky. So, putting him second and kind of putting him down there is you putting him in a different category than probably a decent amount of NFL teams.
He's going to go in the first round. And I've had a couple people tell me in the last 2 days that Cleveland at 12 is probably going to happen with him. But I've had other people tell me that Cleveland's taking a pass catcher, be it a tight end or a receiver at 12. So, I mean, you hear so much information this time of year. But he's going to go in the first round. The other one, Mahomes is going to go in the first round from everything I'm hearing and talking to. So.
And his delivery's all over the place, right?
He is.
But he seems like he's an incredible athlete.
Oh, my gosh. This guy was like, he grew up playing Three Flies Up. You remember playing that when we were kids?
We didn't have Three Flies Up.
You guys
up
ever
in
play
Cincinnati.
Three Flies Up?
Is that Flyers Up? We played Flyers Up.
No.
Is it the same? What was it?
So you have like a ball, tennis ball, football, whatever. You have a bunch of your friends in like a big pack. You throw it up in the air, and the first one that catches it three times gets to go be the thrower.
I've never even heard of
you never
this.
That was Flyers Up.
We call it Three Flies Up.
We kill the man with the ball, which is probably not correct anymore.
Yeah, that's a little different. A little different game.
But that's kind of, they could have workshopped that name a little bit.
Kill the man with the ball.
Kill the man with the ball. We weren't even men. We were boys and girls.
Yeah, but, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you didn't have to take things so seriously all the time. So you could just be we're winking.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
But anyways, he just throws the ball. Like, he'll just, without caution, just throw it up. And he makes some, like, Matt Stafford-type throws. You're like, whoa. But his best plays have nothing to do with the play call. So it's like.
Mm. So that's not great for the NFL.
That's a tough transition. And, you know, the defense of
sure,
him.
Sure, NFL obsessive offensive coordinator will love that.
But here's the deal. Like, there's some teams, I won't go into the names, but there's some teams that have rosters good enough, right? And then quarterbacks that are just good enough. You're going to be postseason quarterbacks. But the upside is not there for them to play at a high enough level to win a championship.
Kansas City Chiefs.
I didn't say that. Okay. So the thinking is that a team could take him, sit him behind said good, not great player for a couple years, work with him, get him up to speed, and then eventually you'd have a guy with a ceiling high enough to eventually get you where you want to go.
While DJ was saying that, he actually wrote out the words Kansas City Chiefs on a piece of paper and
held it up. I heard Josh Dobbs on your pod. And
good dude.
I mean, he sounds so mature, too, for his age, which is crazy.
Yeah, he is. He just had his pro day, so I just texted a buddy that was there from a team, and I'll tell you what they said about his pro day.
Humble brag. Total. By the way, Colleen, you're on Dan's radar now that you just admitted to listening to DJ.
I mean.
can you imagine what the contacts that
did a nice job. Sticks
has, by the way, in the phone?
I'd love to. Yeah, that's a great point.
Most you might famous have, contact.
Oh, hold on. You want to go? Do you ever save voicemails?
You know, sometimes, I guess.
Okay, you want to hear an old voicemail?
Yeah,
please.
Hold on. Let me see if I can get this into play here.
Hey, Daniel, this is Archie Manning down in New Orleans calling. Glad to hear you're going to be joining us at the Passing Academy. I was just checking in. legendary morning thing. I just going to kind of fill you in a little bit, kind of what we do. But we're excited to have you. I'm about to get on a plane, going to be traveling. So this is my cell. Hold on.
Okay, better don't. No, when Archie Ball Royalty.
That's a dynasty.
Yeah, when Archie calls, you save. That's like 4 years old. It's still on my phone.
I
can't believe it. I swear to you. Hold on. I'll look at the date.
He's running out of space. What do I delete?
No.
Gotta keep the Archie.
I always update when you delete your messages. I always save Archie. I can't delete
Archie. I save messages from my mom. Not Archie Manning.
No, Archie. That is from 7/14/2012.
Oh,
wow.
Look at that.
Yeah, coming up on 5 years.
He's a man that respects the history of the league. That's you know what, DJ? Maybe I'm coming around.
That's the block or on me?
All right. Go get in your makeup chair.
All right.
Let's go get pretty.
Colleen, it was great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Thanks, DJ.
Daniel Jeremiah, ladies and gentlemen.
Move the sticks with the stop by. It was okay. It was a 6 out of 10 stop by.
That's what he's going to rate you as stars.
Not thrilled that DJ came with this great bit that he could just hammer over and over.
You know, the funny thing about Greg, because I have something I have to share this with.
Now he's lashing out,
people
folks.
Close
Uh-oh.
To me. Sometimes it's like, there's like, you know, hey, guys, home team. Greg's one of those guys, like, he'll turn on you like a jackal. No one was laughing harder than Greg. He's like, old.
These guys.
No, but you know what? It's a different laugh. Put it that way.
Well, the thing is, when
like
you're
a jackal.
When you're in the.
I don't want you in the foxhole. Put it that way.
When you're in the company of other people, you know, sometimes you tend to act differently than you would act, like, in your own sort of podcast. Maybe differently than you speak privately.
Which what is meal the power rankings, breakfast, lunch, dinner?
There's a little clip there from Dan
All right.
asking the important questions. I thought we were going to another one. Let's actually yeah. – let's go to
it's good that Greg's not the host.
The congratulations here.
Can I just say, by the way,
yes.
congratulations to the Chris's and Rich. That's a big deal.
Thanks, bud.
Our podcast got a Stitcher Award in 2013, and our producer – told the Stitcher people to mail the award to her home address, and we never saw it again.
Is that true?
That's a true story.
That's a great story. I also just like the congratulations to the Emmy for the Emmy Award.
Well,
for the
I mean,
show.
Here's great. A little show business trick, Greg. I brought that up so I could get into the Stitcher bit. Here, take notes.
So much shade. There's so much shade on this pod.
Giving show business tricks to NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal.
NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal.
What? The door creaking opens, my favorite.
Look out, it's NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal.
Call the sheriff.
All right.
This was at Hanano.
Oh, yeah.
Dan does not like it when he's the subject of drops that he did not create.
Hey, will you calm down?
It's Friday. We're supposed to be having fun here.
We're having
this
fun.
This guy's on my ass.
You jackal.
Jackal.
It's bit day.
All right. So there we go. Move the six. And he does. I was made aware. Sydney in my ear told me that there is a podcast called the Move the Sticks podcast that he does with Bucky Brooks. So check it out if you can find it. And at Move the Sticks on Twitter and Path to the Draft.
With Bucky Brooks, yeah.
No wonder he can make fun of the common man's clothing. I'm sure he's pulling in a nice paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
He must be doing well, Danny boy.
Gotta be.
Oh, let's be honest. Remember the old Bucks and Eagles were interested in hiring him. This was public information
yes,
to be
was.
Part of their front office. Mm-hmm. And for him to turn down that gig, you got to think, NFL media stepped up.
Well, there's nothing better than leverage, Wes, in negotiations. And the man had it.
I mean, it's all that matters.
He's not taking it's not, Ubers
it
anywhere.
It doesn't matter how good you are. It's all that matters is leverage.
This is true.
What did you really want to say there, Greg?
I'm going to pass.
All right, let's do Sydney, let's do some news.
We all float down here.
God. Sydney. The new It trailer was. I don't know if you guys have clown issues. I have legitimate clown issues because of that.
Duly noted.
Yeah, the TV movie in 1990, It. And now they're remaking it. And why? How'd that get on your radar that you knew it was something that was going on?
Oh, well, you tweeted it out, so that was just
for Oh, yeah.
You.
That's true.
Specifically about your clown issues.
Yeah, I said they should blast that trailer into outer space. I do not want that movie on the old radar of the world.
I can't wait to just start putting clowns in Dan's front yard.
I'll know where it came from. All right, let's do some news, and we will start with the announcement of a new all or nothing team. Now you got to, you know, there's two categories now. There's a Hard Knocks team and an all or nothing team.
This is great. I'm so excited. Who's the team?
You're excited? You're real pumped up?
Yeah.
Well, the team is the same team that we just saw on Hard Knocks. It's the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's cool. Like Sean McVay, and it's going to be really, you know, kind of like a new generation.
No. Last year's Los Angeles Rams.
Wait, we got to live that again?
They filmed it all during last season.
Oh, my God. And I wrote about it for NFL.com last year, but I forgot that that's how they do it.
This is why it's an outrage. You cannot have an all or nothing if there's no chance at the all. If the highest you can do is 7-9, there is no all or nothing.
So I guess the Jeff Fisher firing will be in it, which that might be interesting.
Yeah, but you know they're not – I don't know if they're going to be able to really dig into that. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll surprise us. But even then, it's pretty depressing. That whole season was a very – if you wanted to rank, like, top five most depressing seasons in the NFL last year, the Rams had to be up there, right?
Oh, I think they're – top three, maybe. They're number two to the Browns. I guess the Jaguars
hot
are maybe
start,
in
though.
There. But, yeah, I mean –
hot start to the season they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the difference is, like –
even can't wait to not watch that.
Even the other teams were more interesting in their failures than I think the Rams were after a while. Seriously, though. That was not a team you wanted to dial. Like,
it was bad.
I was kind of – I still the Browns had more going on. The Jaguars had more going on, actually, than the Rams. And but well, you never know.
Maybe it could be great.
It's NFL Films who always manage to be great with everything they do, so maybe they'll find a way to, like, showcase
guys, watch it and tell me about
what pain is like.
It's so weird, though, because isn't NFL Films involved in Hard Knocks, too?
Yes.
Like, so for them to do basically the
so
same
they stayed.
Thing twice.
They just stayed. Mm. Which is, you know, this will be a challenge. Because that's the other risk and the big difference between All or Nothing and Hard Knocks is that Hard Knocks, you're always going to document those 5 weeks at the end of July and into August. And it's always – all the teams are optimistic and there's a different vibe. With All or Nothing, if you're going to say, we're going to guess where to go, and it worked out last year with the Cardinals who almost got to the Super Bowl, but this is almost like the worst-case scenario where you dock yourself with a team that's just – there's not a lot of juice, but –
yeah, because you would think if
I
nothing
do love
else,
NFL films though.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to count it out.
Yeah,
you would think if nothing else, it would be popular with Rams fans, and I'm sure on some level it will be. But if you're a Rams fan, I feel like the last thing you want to watch right now is more Jeff Fisher.
Ooh, maybe like Eric
let's,
Dickerson
like,
stuff.
Let's
will be in
relive
there?
The Jeff Fisher era. I think there's an opportunity, and this isn't really NFL films' style because it's generally pretty positive. There is an opportunity to maybe show what it's like to be on a miserable team. I don't know.
Spin it, Greg.
I'm just saying, like, I like sad movies. I like documentaries about things that aren't necessarily the happiest, in the world. I just watched, a documentary about competitive tickling that went in a very dark, down
no,
a dark path.
Yeah, you got to check it out. You got to check it out. It's on HBO. Check it out.
Streets are talking.
It's about the tickle doc.
That's right up there with the clown movie.
No, it wasn't that type of thing. It was fascinating. So All or Nothing, Los Angeles Rams. We'll see what happens. It could be NFL Films' greatest challenge, and on some level, their greatest victory if they produce entertaining television. Wes,
but they should rename it NFL Films' Greatest Challenge because the entire conceit of the show, either you get a Super Bowl or you get nothing, doesn't fit the 2016 Rams.
Fair. Let's move on. Talk about the Minnesota Vikings. Bad news for Sharif Floyd, the 2013 first-round pick, has yet to recover from nerve damage that occurred during September surgery to repair the meniscus in his knee, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. The nerve that controls the quadriceps still isn't firing 6 months later. There is optimism that the nerve will start firing once more, but no one knows for sure. And that the first report came from USA Today. And I guess this is, Colleen, maybe just like the reminder that 99 times out of 100, you hear successful surgery on a torn ACL, blah, blah, blah. This is the one, or the 999 out of 1,000, this is the one where these guys are going under the knife. It's a real procedure, and sometimes bad things happen.
Yeah, it's like when you when you are getting surgery, you have to sign all of those disclosures, and it's like, oh, there's a chance of like X, Y, and Z, and it's 30 pages long, and this is the time that it happened. I guess the nerve damage happened during the surgery, and his Sharif Floyd posted on Instagram asking God for one last run, and it was super depressing.
That is sad.
I hope that that nerve does start firing again.
It was really poignant, that Instagram message. Don't let me go out this way. This game means so much to me, and the foundation is still being laid one stone at a time. Grant me one last run. I promise I'll lay my soul on the line.
Oh,
that's sad.
That's rough.
And that's kind of, you know, he's part of what helps define that team, I think, in the front seven. You know, if they were going to come back to where we thought they were going to be last year, I think it's going to be because of the players up front, and they would love to have Sharif Floyd.
Moving on.
Actually, we got a little bit of breaking
news. Got some breaking news?
What?
Let's hear it. That's a third break. We got to slow down with that drop.
Sharif Floyd, not the only 2013 first-round draft pick in the news here. The Miami Dolphins waived Deion Jordan on Friday, the third overall pick. I feel like he's been forgotten a little bit, considering he was a number three overall pick. Of course, he's had suspensions and injuries and all sorts of problems.
I believe the Dolphins traded up to get him as well. And he, to me, is on that short list. If you're coming up with a top 10 draft bust of the last 10 years, he's on the list for me because from the jump, you know, when he wasn't at the right weight, he got the PED suspension, never did anything on the field. They hung with him, and they never got anything out of it.
He's like the Jamarcus Russell of hybrid pass rushers. An epic draft bust.
So Jeff Ireland gave up a first and second round to trade up for Jordan.
And that was a surprise. He was one of those guys who the draft Knicks loved. It was not a great draft, and especially defensively, and it got pushed up. But he was a guy, I believe Mike Mayock and others talked about as maybe the number one overall pick in that draft, that they thought he was that sort of versatile talent.
One start, 46 tackles, 3 sacks.
Yikes.
Vernon Gholston also might be in that conversation.
That's true.
But, you know.
He had a stat. He inspired an ignominious stat on this
podcast. You don't want a Gholston.
Zero sacks, zero quarterback hits is a Gholston.
Anyway, Chicago Bears. You know, not a lot of people are. Even they got Mike Lennon and they got some pieces, I guess, but not a lot of people are expecting a ton from the Bears in 2017. But guess what? John Fox thinks otherwise. At the annual league meeting in Phoenix this week, he had this to say: going back to a lot of the changes, we've had a lot of change. I think we're better for it. Unfortunately, you can't walk around with your chest out about that because of our record the last 2 years. But I have total confidence, and Ryan Pace has done an outstanding job and will continue to. I understand you have to win, and I finally feel like we're in striking distance.
Wow.
Are the Bears in striking distance?
3 straight years, they've been last in the division. And I also like the Chicago Tribune pointed out they're 9-23 the last 2 seasons, and only the Browns, Niners, and Jags have been worse during that span. But, yeah, they're in striking distance.
What does striking distance even mean? Does that mean like 8 wins?
Yeah, I think that's about it. I get that because, well, look, he's just hopeful. The roster is not good. Were they that much different last year? I'm just looking at Football Outsiders team efficiency. They were 25th. The team above them was Indianapolis. It was 8-8. A couple teams below them, Detroit and Houston, had winning records. Are they that far away? They were a team that competed. I think they were a little better, certainly, than 3-13. Are they that far away from getting lucky and winning 7 or 8 games and people talking about, oh, the Bears are a nice story, not really a relevant team? Like, that wouldn't shock me. Like, that happens in the NFL. John Fox has proven he can do that sort of thing. But that's their best-case scenario.
How?
You disagree.
I mean, how does John Fox come to this conclusion? I just don't get it. How could you possibly believe this? It's what bad teams do. Look, we got a chance to be good this year, finally. No, you got a chance to get the number one overall pick and for your butt to get fired.
He's probably just hoping and wishing. He's staring at the roster and thinking of the things that he can do, and he knows he's done.
He's staring at his deal. He's entering a third year of a four-year deal. He needs it to be true.
I'm going to go down the same thing with Todd Bowles, Wes, when you got upset about the rebuilding thing. What is this guy supposed to say? I don't know. He believes his team can make some –
Don't get me started on Todd Bowles. How about not lying? That's what you're supposed to do, not lie. Not lie to your fan base, which you are going to put through misery. Treat them like adults. You're going to put them through misery. Don't lie to
Bill Belichick lies all the time, too.
Bill Belichick treats his fans great. Oh, he gives them winning seasons. He doesn't lie to them.
What are we're talking about different things now. Not about the success of the team, but how they communicate with the media. You got to watch what you say. That's what I'm saying. This guy's not going to say, well, I think we still kind of stink because Mike Lynn is not that good, and I'm probably going to get fired. Of course he's going to say, you know what, I think we're in striking distance.
Bill Belichick says things like, hey, we don't want to be the Colts the year that they got the number one overall pick and suffer through that. We're going to keep our backup quarterback. As a fan, you're like, yeah.
Great. I see both sides. I do think there is a point to the, like, what are they going to say? On the other hand, there are some coaches who I think in their minds what they say to the public has even, like, there's very little important. They put very little importance on any sort of truthfulness. Like, they in their head, while they're saying it, I think they know it's BS. And I think there's not every coach is like
that. Jeff Fisher.
And I think John Fox is kind of one of those coaches. Jeff Fisher is another one, yes.
Moving on, TJ McDonald recently signed to the the San Diego Greybeards, is now a member of the Miami Dolphins. Days after he learned of an 8-game suspension for violating the substances of abuse policy, the Miami Dolphins signed the former Rams safety. It's a 1-year deal with the team. Mike Garofalo reported it for us. The Miami Herald had it first. What do we think about this signing, Greg? He's out for half a season, but can he help the Dolphins if he gets back and is the TJ McDonald of old?
Mike Tannenbaum type of move, and I like it. I mean, it's a low risk, high reward. You're getting a NFL starter. This guy he's barely missed a snap in his career. He's got a little bit of edge to him. You know, they've already got Rashad Jones there. Kind of an under the radar story this offseason is
Abdul-Qaddous.
Abdul-Qaddous is probably retiring because of an injury. You talked about how quick careers can change. His career was basically ended on a hit, and he was playing well last year for them as a safety.
Yeah.
And so I think McDonald fills that role nicely.
Number 2 in the ESA power rankings behind Issa Rae.
I love Issa Rae.
I do too. I've got a crush on her.
Yeah, everybody watch Insecure if you haven't seen it yet.
This podcast took an unexpected turn. I love it.
Issa Rae is like one of my favorites.
She's got
I love
my
that
favorite
show.
Smile.
Great smile.
Not only is Wes going current pop culture, but he's going like hip current pop culture.
Also
I love it. It's a new Wes.
Also going head over heels for this woman.
Oh, I'm a
favorite
fan.
Smile.
I am totally with you.
She's talented too.
Huge crush.
What does the Paramore think about this?
The Paramore shares the same opinion as I do.
Well, hello.
I think the Paramore likes her even more than I do.
That show is like a cool version of Girls. Like if Girls was good, that would be Insecure. It is insecure.
Love
awesome.
Ray.
Does have a nice smile.
It's a nice smile. I like it. It's a nice smile. I'm happy.
That doesn't even do it
justice. Should I check this out? I'll check the show.
Yeah, it's really
like
good.
It's a good show.
You'll like the song that she her rap in the beginning.
Oh, really?
I think
okay.
It's like episode 1 or 2.
Okay, I'm good. What is it? Where is it? Where can I see it?
HBO.
Yeah.
HBO. The home box office.
I'm surprised you're not on
I'm going to plug in on this.
Yeah.
Usually I'm unplugged in
on
the
HBO and Atlanta
stuff.
Are like the two best shows.
Yeah, Dan, stay with me and I'll bring you up to date.
Oh!
One guy, I go on TV once and everyone's like, what is this? What is the source of this? I'm trying to figure it out.
Don't forget us, Dan.
Moving on, Drew Brees. Oh, actually, let's sound the alarm.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees is 38 years old, but guess what? He believes he could play many more years as a professional quarterback. How many more years? Ah, hell. I'm Drew Brees. I believe I could play until I'm 45.
Ooh, he's on that Tom Brady plan.
Everybody's on the Tom Brady plan now. This is a certified trope alert. We'll see. He still plays. He's still like a top 5 quarterback. He's 38. Doesn't have maybe the build, do you think, that would survive into your 40s. He's not a big man But who knows?
I think
science.
I think every offseason people should ask him how long he wants to play. Because this was my favorite trope 3 years ago when he started saying he wouldn't play till he was 45.
Yes, shocking, the Drew Brees and trope alert.
I still want to play till I'm 45.
I mean, the crazy thing, I thought he was declining a few years ago. He's played great the last few years. I wouldn't say he's underrated because he's rated pretty high, but this man has led the league in passing yards 5 of the last 6 years. And the 1 year he didn't, he had 5,100 passing yards. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It is.
Just saying.
And finally in the news, Martellus Bennett. Have you heard he's different than other players? Have you heard that?
He's a little wacky.
I'm a little different. I'm
he's
a Bennett brother.
Opinions.
I'm different. Yeah, I'm different.
Very good. Colleen's flying right now.
I am. I'm just like you.
Flying too close to the sun on borrowed wings. All right, so Martellus Bennett. Once again, expressing that he's different. Well, this isn't that different. A professional athlete putting out a rap album. He released an EP called I Am Different. Excuse me. I am not a rapper, but some of my friends are. Ellipses. It's a 5-track release. Here is one of the tracks, and let's listen to it with open ears.
Okay.
Dinosaurs and Dynamite.
Dinosaurs and dynamite. It's a new world. Hope you're ready for a revolution. Dinosaurs and dynamite. It's a new world. Hope you're ready for a revolution. Yeah, you better run.
You better run.
Fast as you can.
Fast as you can.
Yeah, you better run. It's a new world. Hope you're ready for a revolution. Dinosaurs and dynamite.
Wish everybody could see Wes's face.
I know, it's so great.
I made 100 grand. Spent that all, made it back again. I'm a monster, I'm not a man. Skills on scales all inside my hand. 907,000.
Is that Cardi B?
So he's trying to,
I don't think so.
No, I think there's a guest on this track.
Yeah, Matchbox Tony, or is that on?
Is that a?
That might be on the Whole
Matchbox
Foods.
Matchbox Tony?
What a great name.
Well, there's a track is called it? Whole Foods. And it talks about him balling out at Whole Foods and eating healthy, and he's stacking bread that's whole grain. That's my favorite track.
Was he like the Weird Al of pro athlete hip-hop?
I can get behind
Matchbox
that.
Tony.
Matchbox Tony's pretty great because he's basically riffing off like a soft rock alternative band of the late 90s and 2000s, right? That's a riff off.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah, it's
second Matchbox 20 reference of the week in the around the
up.
NFL universe.
Dinosaurs and Dynamite featuring Matchbox Tony and David Allen Dope.
Oh, that's a good
David Allen
David Dope. Allen Dope.
Yeah.
That's a play on David
I
Allen Coe.
I feel like, Kendrick Lamar releasing a new video right after this maybe stole the sunshine away from Mardi B,
maybe
but he can get it back.
It's that's like kind of like a hip hop move now. You don't necessarily have to be able to rap, but if you have like a vocoder, I think that's the Kanye West influence. There's a lot you could hear it in that song.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. West, you really seem to enjoy it. Can we just play it? West, go ahead.
Step dinosaurs and dynamite.
I'm sure like lyrical credit to Leonard Cohen or Bob Dylan, you know. Give me a break with the lyrics.
Dynamite. Ooh.
Like, what are you even trying to say here?
Well, he's saying it's a new world.
Hope you're ready for it.
The dynamite's coming for the dinosaur. You're the dinosaur in this situation. They're going to drop the dynamite on you, Wes. Blast you out of here.
Please tell me about this revolution, you corporate football player.
Wow.
Wow. Now Wes hitting out. I enjoy this.
I mean, give me a break. Everybody's got a revolution. And how many revolutions actually take place? Revolutions are a dime a dozen, Marty
Sorensen. Whoa. Wes going with the
burner.
Yo, Wes, you drop a diss track.
Revolutions got banged in a big spot by Wes.
We need a Chris Wessling diss track.
Yeah, it's got to happen.
In fact, we could just take whatever he just said and just lay it over a beat.
And then
flying.
Put the trope alert behind it.
Someone has to do this.
All right, that's what's happening in the news. It's all right. It's fine.
What, the song?
Yeah, it's fine. I thought it was
or the album, the tape?
I mean, it's not offensive.
Yeah, it was fine. All right. Why don't we play a game before we go? And we haven't done this in a while. I think we did it on a network hit. somewhat recently, but we haven't done it in the studio, and it's one of our favorite games. It's the game where we get to present two possibilities, and the rest of the room decides. You know what it is.
What's more likely?
Thanks, Sid. Sid, where are you going this weekend?
Currently no plans. I was going to go to Utah this weekend, but that got blown to bits. So, yeah. Yeah, all good. So, wide open.
You hanging out with Kirk?
Hopefully not. I hate for this to like get on his wife's radar, and she's like, what is happening on this NFL podcast?
Hey, Sid, you better not get on that plane. You know where you should be every weekend.
Always an option.
Always an option. What's more likely? Here we go. Connie Fox.
Ah.
The Randy Velarde of the Around the NFL podcast.
Wow.
Ooh.
So versatile. You can put her at short, third, left field, pitch in a spot.
I'm kind of sad that Sessler isn't here for What's More Likely. He always has some good ones.
I'll be sure to include him in one of them.
Tough shoes.
Ooh, okay. There you hear Wes? He's got you.
Okay, perfect.
Got your back. All right, Connie, get us going.
All right. This one might be a stretch, but just hear it out first. Brandon Cooks becomes Tom Brady's top target.
Okay, so
define top target.
Just most targets?
Most targets.
Okay.
Most targets. Or DeSean Jackson returns to his Pro Bowl form in Tampa Bay. So Cooks obviously is competing with six other pass catchers, including Gronk. Gronk's health, you know, it's always an issue. But last year, Cooks accounted for 17.6% of the Saints' targets, second on the team, and he was not happy with that. Mm.
I would say definitely the latter choice here, that DeSean Jackson played at a near Pro Bowl level last year, at least for stretches at the end of the season. Brandon Cooks, I mean, Julian Edelman is a target monster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Brandon Cooks superseding Julian Edelman.
What happens if Gronk stays healthy and Julian Edelman stays healthy? I think there's no chance. I think he might be
no
third.
No chance at all.
I think it's much more likely. I think DeSean Jackson still plays at a Pro Bowl level, so he has to just basically continue what he was doing, and he'll have a 1,000-yard season.
Not quite a Pro Bowler last year. I mean, good player.
But he's like in the ballpark.
Yeah, I would say DeSean Jackson too. Gronk, I could see Brandon Cooks getting more targets than Gronk just because of the position that he plays, and who knows if Gronk is fully healthy in terms of targets. Edelman had 159 targets. I mean, they have a connection.
That's
like
insane.
Edelman has basically patterned his entire life after trying to be Tom Brady's best friend. And it's worked out great for him. I mean, he's like taken below market deals just so he can stay with his buddy Tom Brady.
Yeah, there's some creepy stuff going on.
Do you think he's worried about Brandon Cooks coming in and maybe like feeling his best friend?
I don't know about the best friend part, but I think he's probably worried about him taking those targets, especially into 2018 when he's a free agent. Julian Edelman's probably a little worried.
Somebody threw
got rid of Wes Welker.
Yeah, somebody threw some shade at Julian Edelman a couple of months ago, and basically called him out as being kind of like a Tom Brady light option. Like he does everything that Tom does off the field.
Well, he has a supermodel girlfriend.
I think he does some things differently than Tom off the field with different human beings.
Go on.
What is
I think Tom Brady's a one-woman man.
Oh.
I think Julian Edelman's a many-woman man.
I thought you were a one-woman man until I heard you talking about that television star.
Goodness. Issa Rae.
The Paramore and I are in lockstep on this one.
Okay. You're up, Wes.
What's more likely?
What's more likely?
Jay Cutler finds a starting job or Colin Kaepernick finds a job?
By the beginning of the season, roughly? Or just generally?
Generally.
I think Cap finds a job. I it would be tough for me to see Jay Cutler starting.
Yeah, I don't know where that starting job is. I would go Kaepernick. I keep repeating myself that I do think he's going to be in the NFL. And I think these reports, whether there's probably room for, you know, disagreement in terms of how much money he's looking for. I don't think these reports, and Ian Rapoport was the latest to say that some GMs believed he was seeking $10 million. I don't think those are coming out of nowhere. I think once his price comes down, and I think it will because he's going to want to play, I think he'll get a backup job. And I would keep an eye on Carolina. I know they said they they hadn't shown interest yet, but I think that could make a lot of sense with Cam Newton coming off of an injury.
He's got to ditch that vegan diet, though, I think.
Oh.
Kaepernick.
That's preposterous.
There's more reports out there that teams are being spooked by that.
Really?
You know, you're sitting in the Mark Sessler chair. You gotta, you know, if you're going anti-vegan, that's a declaration of war right now.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, like, it looks like he could use a sandwich.
Isn't Tom Brady mostly vegan?
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't think
vegan, really?
Yeah.
On one hand, I'd like to think like that's preposterous. It's just one of those things that somehow got in the media. But then you can totally see some
like
55, 60-year-old GM being like, I don't know about this vegan thing.
Yeah.
They're all from the same area.
They're like
from the Bronx.
It's Dave Gettleman, basically.
There are a few. I think Gettleman is more open-minded than that. But I do think there are like three or four of these old crusty types. And the reporters go to these same three or four guys every time because they know they're pissed off about everything.
Yeah. He is certainly a wiry-looking guy, Colin Kaepernick, especially last offseason when he's coming off the surgeries. And maybe they want him to be bulked up. I don't know. Who knows? Next up, me.
What's more likely?
Seamless.
Tom Brady. Speaking of which, vegans no fish or anything, right?
Right.
I think he eats fish.
No dairy products. So like pescatarian.
Yeah, I think he's not quite vegan, but who cares? Tom Brady plays at a star level for another 6 or 7 years, like he would like to do. Or Jimmy Garoppolo is a 10-year NFL starter with at least 5 Pro Bowl selections. Now, before everyone gets on the high horse, what does the Pro Bowl mean? Just understand when I say that means if he's in the mix for a Pro Bowl like for half of those years, that means he's become a really better than good starter for 10 years. He's like Tom Brady has robbed him of like half of his 20s already. He's 25, so keep that in mind as well.
So what was the first part that Tom Brady plays?
He's still Tom Brady for another 6 or 7 years.
But he's playing at a high level too.
Yeah.
I guess.
Or Garoppolo, and if you think about it, this gets at a bigger question facing the Patriots right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna go all in on Tom Brady. He has all of the money I feel like in the world to invest in all of these different.
We are really against Father Time then.
No,
1 year and all of a sudden there's no way Brady can be defeated by Father.
Well, you put up two things that I would say are unlikely. So you have to pick the more likely. That's
right.
The game. Neither one of these I would consider particularly likely, but I'm going to go Jimmy G. I believe that Jimmy G can have a good career as a starter. I don't know when that's going to begin or where it's going to begin. 5 Pro Bowls is a lot. 5 Pro Bowls means you might be sniffing the Hall of Fame if you're able to do something like that. But I'll go Jimmy G.
I'm going Tom Brady for a very specific reason. I think Brett Favre could have played at 44 and 45. I think Peyton Manning, if it took another a year or two off after retirement, there's a chance his arm strength could have come back. I think quarterbacks retire when they are no longer motivated to play football. And I think Tom Brady is absolutely driven by being a lifestyle pioneer and mowing down age barriers more than any player in any sport has ever been motivated by that. I think that is his number one driving motivation right now. And I think nothing's going to set him back. He's going to keep wanting to prove that over and over again.
And as long as Belichick stays there too, the two of them together, I feel like the future is bright, Dan.
I'll give Tom another option. You could beat Father Time and perfect science and do all these things, or you could watch your kids grow up.
Wow.
Coming after his credentials as a father.
Hey, there's sacrifices being made. Don't think there's no sacrifice if
of course
he wants to go down this road.
And that's why I don't think it's likely is because you said, he's got this motivation. Maybe. I mean, I'm not in his head in terms of how he wants to change perception.
I mean, you don't need to be in his head. He's already said these.
Right, but life changes, like another Super Bowl or an injury
it
or
could
anything.
Be even
like,
more motivated
then it could
in the future.
It could change.
That's he's what off-season all, for.
Right, he's got all off-season to connect with his children. Dude.
Yeah.
Does he really, though?
Yeah.
You know how this guy operates?
That's
you
what
think
I
he's
tell.
He's taking an off-season? There's no off season for this guy.
I mean, he works all day, 8 to 5 on his body, then goes home with his
That's
team.
What I tell my family every day.
That's
every
what you
year.
Want. That's what you want him to do, but I don't think that's what's happening. I think this guy is down in his lab with all his technicians and all his juices and his treadmills and his Ivan Drago workout routine.
You are not fooling anyone. You adore Tom Brady. You respect the hell out of him. And you say all this just because you think you're obligated to as a Jets fan.
It's like a fatal attraction
God!
Thing going on.
Is this show almost over? Greg, you're up.
This is it. Dan does not like being on the side
it,
of
hates
things.
It, wait, hates it.
Wait, Airy Man doesn't like to be picked on. No, I don't. I don't. Good thing I'm a great sport. All right, go ahead, Greg.
Wow.
Good thing I'm a great sport, said by no great sport ever. Let's do a little draft talk. What's more likely?
What's more likely?
Listen, just because I was on TV today, Greg, and your star is dimming in that department, doesn't mean that you have to get after me. Because you've been leading the charge today.
I'm loving it.
And it's
fun.
It's a little too coincidental is all I'm saying, that I go straight from this fancy TV studio to do the podcast, and, you know, you're firing away on me.
See, now you're trying to take it to, like, real. You know,
we're having fun. Shows.
It's the Dan job. It's a big deal. We would do the same for Colleen
right.
and Wes.
Okay,
they were
true.
Out there this morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, NFL.com's Greg Rosen.
Hey, it's that absolute nobody, NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
Zick bomb.
I like
Zick
the
bomb.
End of that.
The Zick bomb is dropped.
What's more likely? Saints draft a quarterback in the first round or Giants draft a quarterback in the first round?
Giants. Saints talk about this every year. They don't fool me one bit. They talk about this every year, but they traded Brandon Cooks to help their defense, and they talked about that. They know they need help on defense.
Could
Drew
end up
Brees
with another.
Play until he's 40. Drew Brees is still good, and Eli Manning's not, so there's your answer.
I think it would be a surprise to me if they didn't do one before the third round. First round, that's pretty hardcore. That's quite a message being sent to old Eli. And it's not a great quarterback draft class, as DJ just said. The Giants are a smart organization.
Mahomes,
but they fit what DJ said about Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes is one that's been connected to him a little bit.
I'm going to – all right, so what was the other one? The Saints?
Saints or Giants, and I'm not pulling this out of thin air. There's been kind of reports that both will consider a quarterback, maybe even in the first round.
I think the Giants are more likely than the Saints.
Yeah.
Could end up with another first-round draft pick,
I
too,
do believe in Chase Daniel, who's now in New Orleans.
Chase Montana.
But I'm going to go with the Giants.
Colleen?
Oh, I'm up again. All right, I got another one. All right, here we go.
What's more likely?
Sean McVay makes the Rams better than some 7-9 bull or Sean McDermott makes the Bills better than some 7-9 bull. Now, the Bills... they actually were 7-9 last year. Rams 4-12.
Well, here's the thing about the Bills. I don't know what's going to happen with the Bills, but they were that Week 16 game. They were in a great game against the Dolphins, was it? With the season on the line, essentially.
Yes.
And they played well, and they got beat right at the end of the game. The Bills weren't last year that far off from being the Dolphins on some level.
Their defense was so weird last year.
It was not a great defense, but I think they're closer right now than the Rams, is what I'm saying. So I think. More likely the Bills.
I have no confidence in the Bills whatsoever. I just think they're on a team going nowhere, and their defense keeps losing talent every year. And I don't know if it's being restocked or not. All their draft picks get injured, so you never know. I'd like to see what Sean McVay can do with Todd Gurley and a revamped offensive line. And we already know the defense has parts, and they got Wade Phillips. I think I trust the coaching more in with the Rams.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
What is the question is better than 7-9 or
which one could get out of that?
I mean, we know that Sean McVay, he can't work with Jared Goff yet, but Jared Goff's
Soon,
been
though.
Working with Tom House, who worked with Matt Ryan last year, and they have a lot of good people in there. Matt LaFleur is that their that's their new offensive coordinator. And I mean, I like the signing of Andrew Whitworth. They just need some receivers though.
Right. I'm going to go Bills. I think they're a more talented team. I'm not too high on either of these teams, but I guess that was the point of the question.
Wes.
What's more likely?
Darrell Revis finds his long-lost love for football.
Oh, that would be so sweet.
He's been searching.
Or Mark Sessler finds his long-lost love for football.
He's been searching.
Well,
I've been on the, you know, my stance on Darrell Revis has been repeated often that I think this guy's done, and I would never count Mark Sessler out. I mean, he's one Browns win away from loving football. Mark Sessler.
A single team. Browns win.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's
I think
it.
Greg might actually be right there.
That's
Well, I've made my stance clear on this too. I think Revis is going to get motivated. He's already lost the weight. He'll sign with the Patriots or someone else and have a great close to his career that further like sticks in the Jets' ribs. So that's exactly what will play out.
I've seen
it's more likely to me
that sparkle in Mark's eye more than I've seen in Darrell Revis' eyes. So I'm going to go with Mark.
Have you been looking in Darrell Revis' eyes
have
a lot lately?
Yes.
Who's your sparkle,
searching
Darrell.
For football and his love for it.
When Mark finds a love for something, he's all in. So I think he'll get it back.
Is Daddy ever coming back?
Finally, Greg, one
What's
more.
More
that was a good one to close on. Let's do. I'm just saying that was a good one.
We can.
He doesn't want to do it.
Do you want to?
All right. Tony Romo replaces Phil Sims in the CBS booth, inspiring mid-season columns. That is Tony Romo not very good on TV or. Rex Ryan inspires columns saying, is Rex Ryan not really that good on TV?
I'll go with Rex because we already know he's got the job. Still a very good chance Tony Romo plays football.
I think Tony Romo would be good.
I do too.
Especially Phil Sims, you know, I don't want to take shots at the guy, but not a beloved broadcaster.
He's like the opposite of that phrase, like you never want to be the guy that replaces the guy. Like right. You do want to be the guy who replaces Phil Sims.
Yeah, you want to be the guy who replaces the guy who replaced the guy, and that would be Tony. And then Rex, I have a feeling that Rex potentially could be a bust in the,
really?
In the studio just because his whole thing that made him interesting was that he had that bluster and that bravado, and he was a head coach, and he brought a different perspective or a different voice than you're used to hearing from these guys. You put him in a studio, and he's just another, like, talking head. If he starts, like, you know, running his mouth like that, I don't think it has the same appeal.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Really? I would
Plus,
rather listen to –
I could see him
be
a little polished. I could see him being a little too polished.
No, I would rather listen to Rex say outlandish things than Tony Romo, like, just be – try to figure out – where the line is for like a former player in terms of like criticizing.
Time.
Yeah, that takes a lot of time, and that's not going to be an issue at all for Rex Ryan. I mean, I could see him being outlandish and outspoken and being the same exact Rex that we've always seen just as an analyst in studio.
That's fair.
The point on Romo is well taken because I already drew this comparison once, but people forget about this now. Everybody was convinced Boomer Esiason was going to be the most natural, the most gifted, the best analyst or color analyst on TV, and he lasted what, a year on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, well, he was out of Westwood One.
Yeah, he was out of the TV business in a heartbeat.
He's had a career, but it took him a while to learn. And
I think he's good on radio, but I
games are hard too. Games compared to like a studio show, that's hard.
There you have it. That was good. Good conversation.
Yeah,
it was a big day here. You know, I hope there's no. Hard feelings. I mean,
extremely hard feelings between you and me personally that we're going to hash out immediately after the mic's cut out.
I just feel bad because you're all dressed up and it's a big day for you.
Well,
read Dan Hanzus's fine pages, the end around his specialty, mirth. The subject, pro football.
That was a great introduction.
It's a great introduction. Yeah, you know, the lesson learned. Don't wear a suit jacket. It's like putting a target on your back.
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't even bring up your bedazzled
trailblazer
shirt.
Trailblazer shirt instead. John went to Portland and brought me back this shirt that is encrusted with gems as a net.
We're going to have to take a picture of it.
Okay.
And send it to the people.
Fine.
Right now, in fact. You ready?
Great.
One, two, Johnny Fox face. All right. That's it. We'll be back on Monday. Colleen, thank you for helping us out this week.
No problem.
So
you guys have kept me busy this week, and thank God for it, because I'm bored.
Yeah, so we'll continue to keep you in the mix as we head through the offseason. The four of us, including Mark, we believe will be back on Monday, and that's fun. We're having fun. Sid, whatever you end up doing this weekend, you have fun too. Enjoy that weekend.
Oh, thanks.
Cool.
Will do.
Cool.
You know where you should be, though. Right next to me. Still forever.
Like it. Yeah, still don't like it.
It's so weird. It is so creepy.
Hey, listen. I have nothing to do with it.
And it comes very natural to
it's
you.
It's just, it's all inside me. It's all inside. All right, let's go home. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Connie Fox, the mailman, the boss. Ooh, the sticks are good. And La Cid behind the glass. Till Monday.